We know more about the New Year's Day terror attacks, but many questions still remain. The unusual tie between what happened in New Orleans and Las Vegas coming up today on the show. The demise of the Bakken may have been greatly exaggerated. Wait till you hear how much more oil there might be deep in the ground in northwest North Dakota. And what great things await the good people of Moorhead in 2025. The mayor stops in to give us her perspective today on the show. Good afternoon, my friend. Steve Hallstrom here with you for the Steve Hallstrom Show on the, I guess I can say first day of 2025, the first business day of 2025. Happy New Year to you. I'm glad that you're with me on the program today. We're starting with a bang. We've got a full dance card today. We had a whole bunch of guests that are coming on the program today. And because of that, we're going to hop right to the 4 o'clock wrap with our semi-automatic storylines, going rapid fire to catch you up on what has been a very busy and eventful day. Not all of the news about things that have happened today. Much of the news today about things that happened yesterday, which you are obviously very aware of right now. So we'll get into those stories coming up in just a minute, but we begin the 4 o'clock wrap here on January 2nd with our weather almanac for today. It is January 2nd, 2025. Average high for this day is 19. Average low is 2. The record high is a 46. That was set back in 1964, and on this day in 2010, it was 33 below zero. Sunrise this morning was at 8:12, and sunset will be at 4:50 p.m., getting a little later all the time. In fact, by the time we get to the end of January, sunset will be at 5:29. So we're going to gain about 40 minutes at the end of the day between now and the end of the month. That makes it feel a little bit better, doesn't it? Even though the temperatures statistically get colder for the next couple, 3 weeks, we have a little more daylight anyway. Maybe makes it feel just a little bit better. In the markets today, the traders back at work on Wall Street. Volume was not all that high, though, today. Not a lot of movement, but everything generally to the downside. The Dow was down 151 points. S&P 500 down 13. The NASDAQ was down 30. WTI crude oil was up today about $1.39. That's about 2 percentage points to 73.11. WTI crude oil finishing precisely up $1.40 today. Gold today up $30.40 an ounce at $2,671. Silver up 73 cents at $29.98. And Bitcoin today took a big jump, about 2.5%, up to $97,028. So that's a look at some commodities news here on this day. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $3.06, and that's up a penny from Tuesday. In North Dakota, the average price is $2.79, Minnesota $2.87, and South Dakota is $2.83. In the news today, the two stories that everybody is talking about, we've got the latest details here for you. The investigation continues tonight after the truck attack on New Orleans Bourbon Street just after midnight on New Year's Day. I guess it was a couple hours after midnight where at least 14 people were mowed down when the attacker in a pickup truck plowed through a crowd of people enjoying the New Year's Eve ceremonies. We know more about the person who is involved today. His name is Shamsud Din Jabbar. He's a 42-year-old U.S. citizen from Texas. Previously, he had served in the U.S. military, including an 11-month deployment to Afghanistan. He was discharged in 2015 and had worked in real estate in recent years. Sounds like just kind of an average soldier. However, they found numerous social media posts pledging support to ISIS, and as you probably heard by now, an ISIS flag was found on the truck. It was a rented pickup. So put the flag on there and went about to do his deadly business just after midnight on New Year's Eve. Also in the news today, we know more about the incident involving the Tesla Cybertruck that burst into flames outside Donald Trump's Las Vegas hotel. He is also a military veteran, a highly decorated U.S. Army soldier. His name is Matthew Livelsberger. He was 37 years of age, and we found out today that he likely died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound to his head area and likely planned to cause more damage, but the steel-sided Cybertruck vehicle absorbed much of the force from the basic, they're calling it a crude explosive device. In fact, people say this doesn't look like something that a guy with his kind of experience would have put together. I thought this was interesting. We're trying to figure out what in the world would motivate people to do things like this. And like I've told you so many times, there's no sense in asking why they were insane. I guess you can look in to see, you know, what their beliefs were, their posts and whatever, but they just generally get to the point where you say they don't make any sense at all. But both of the people, the perpetrators here, spent time at Fort Bragg, back when it was called Fort Bragg, a big army base in North Carolina. And Livelsberger was, in fact, ascended to the level of Green Beret. So one with ties to ISIS, that was the New Orleans driver of the truck. The other one, they really don't know. There doesn't seem to be any immediate explanations or any allegiances or anything like that, although I think it's obvious if you see a Tesla vehicle outside a Trump hotel, it kind of looks like maybe this person wasn't a fan of Donald Trump and Elon Musk, but that's just a speculation piece right now. Also in the news today, WDAY radio reports that state geologists say there's a significant amount of untapped oil buried deep in the Bakken in northwest North Dakota. A new study by the Department of Mineral Resources claims that there could be as many as 10 billion gallons of oil or 250 million barrels if they go down just 50 feet lower than a reservoir already being drilled. It would take about 600 new wells to extract it. North Dakota's Office of Management and Budget says that the state's general fund increased by 12.4% from 2023 to 2024. That is a big jump. The state has some assets in its hands right now. A 21-year-old man sustained a traumatic injury to his hand from a firework early yesterday morning. It happened in the 800 block of Cathy Drive West about 12:45, so about 45 past midnight. Crews arrived to find the male with an injury caused by improper use of a firework, suffered a serious but not life-threatening injury. Sanford Health and Marshfield Clinic Health System have completed their merger and are now one integrated health system operating as Sanford Health. This reports this being reported by Valley News Live, the Marshfield Clinic region is a new health services delivery region of Sanford Health now that will continue to serve communities in Wisconsin and Michigan. The forum reports that North Dakota homeowners can now apply for $500 off their 2025 property tax bill. This is what they did last year when they started this program, the ERC program there. About 138,000 North Dakota households applied for the subsidy last year in its first year. That was about 90% of the eligible households. Apparently, they're going to make it easier to apply this time. You just need to submit your house number and first four letters of your last name in the online application, and your parcel number and address should automatically pop up. So make it a little quicker and easier to get your 500 bones. Julie Fedorchuk, North Dakota's lone congressperson. Congresswoman Fedorchuk will serve on the Federal Energy and Commerce Committee. Federal officials say she's the first freshman member of the House to be appointed to that committee since 2011. She, of course, has got a lot of work, done a lot of work as a regulator, the Public Service Commission in North Dakota, and that certainly helped her along the way there. And in Duluth, they have canceled the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon, actually postponed it, I guess I should say, till March 2nd. The races include a 40-miler, 120-miler, and a 300-miler from Duluth to Grand Portage, were initially scheduled for January 26th, but after near record warmth and near snowless conditions again for the second straight year in northern Minnesota, they say this is not going to work. And those stories are some of the ones that are making headlines here on this first business day of 2025. 2025, got to keep saying that. All right, short break for us. When we come back on the program, North Dakota Highway Patrol Captain Brian Neewen stops in for his monthly chat, a chat with the trooper, some trooper talk when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. The Steve Hallstrom Studio is built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it and go to pccnd.com to learn more. The phone line is sponsored by Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness. 701-271-1100. They've recently expanded over there and can get you in fast. Make an appointment. Get in soon at valleychristian.co. Once a month, we are honored enough to have North Dakota Highway Patrol Captain Brian Niewind in studio to talk about what's going on the highways and byways of North Dakota. Captain Niewind, good to see you again. Thanks for stopping over.
Yes, nice seeing you again, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year as well.
And you were man enough to cook a full prime rib this year for Christmas, so I admire your spirit, good sir.
You know, my father-in-law cooked it this year, but I have cooked it in the past. That's what we were talking about.
Okay.
My father-in-law took care of it this year, and like I talked about before, is you can get those things pre-seasoned. His was even pre-cooked. He just had to warm it up in the oven.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say that's cheating because you still had to do it.
But, you know, it's kind of cheating. It was cheating on his part.
But was it good? Who cares, right?
It was good, yes.
Yeah.
I had two pieces, so it was good enough to where I had two pieces.
I have some friends who's, I buy the big tenderloin thing, and it's like $200, and it's great because everybody, all I hear is $200 and my potential to screw the whole thing up. So I'm like, I don't know. But I might have to try it next year because some of the people I know who have tried it, it doesn't seem like they're doing heroic things. But boy, there's nothing like really good beef, man.
Oh, no. I mean, prime rib is when it's medium rare. Nothing better than that.
Absolutely. Well, there are things better than driving around this time of year, although we've been spoiled again. This winter has been pretty mild. How have things been out there for your guys?
You know, the weather's been great. If you think about that, we don't have a lot of snow, and some people appreciate that when they live up here. Some people like to see that snow, but we've had great driving conditions. Our holiday period here was amazing for driving. Last year, when we had Christmas, we had a rainstorm. We had closed interstates. We had people in the ditch all over the place last year. But this year, with our Christmas holiday through the New Year's, it's been great weather. It's getting a little cold here now.
Mm.
So for people with some of those vehicles that are breaking down out there, if you are in a situation, just call 911. We'll come assist you out there because you don't want to sit real long when it's this cold out there.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, and that brings us back to all the normal things we talk about, right? Having that stuff in your car, a blanket, hat, boots, mittens, all that good stuff that you got to have. And it looks like we're going to get one of those kind of famous North Dakota cold snaps here coming up next week, and just in time for people driving to Frisco, right, to come back. And I guess there's some storms in the central part of the state of the country people are going to have to deal with. So just a good idea to remember all those good things, because the toughest part of the winter still lies ahead. We haven't had it really bad here yet.
Yeah, January and February seems like our coldest months. We get into that March, April time frame is when we have more snow, and it's more wet snow with those blizzard conditions that happen with a heavy snowfall and those winds that happen. So we have a lot of winter left, but I'm thankful because a couple winters ago, our winter started in October and didn't quit until April. And this year it's been pretty manageable.
Yeah. So you're getting a new superintendent of the Highway Patrol. Tell us what that means to you and your team.
Yeah. So our superintendent is our colonel. He's like our chief of police for our agency. He's appointed by the governor's office. So Governor Burgum's office did appoint him as our interim colonel. Prior to Governor Burgum leaving his governorship, and Governor Armstrong appointed him as our full-time colonel as well. We're actually classmates. We went to the academy together a little over 24 years ago. So I know him really, really well. I'm excited for him to have that role within our organization. He's got a lot of great relationships with law enforcement agencies, legislators, just people in general across the state of North Dakota and across the United States. So he was our training academy director for a while. He was our commander in Bismarck over our Southwest region for a while. So he's got a lot of a great experience within our organization. He's been stationed Dickinson, Crosby, Devil's Lake, Bismarck area. So he's been across the state of North Dakota as well. And it's always exciting. It's a little nerve-wracking at times too when you get a new boss, but
yeah.
Just knowing him, I know what kind of person that he is and what he's looking forward to make maybe a few changes with our organization, but also keep working on those things that we do really, really, really well.
Yeah, we congratulate Lieutenant Daniel Haugen for that appointment, and we know that he'll serve the area very well. We're getting to the end of we are at the end of 2024, and we're kind of getting to that point of the winter where you start getting some year-end reports on how things went for the year that we just finished up. And is there any data that's come in for you guys where you can say, here's some trends that we saw this past year?
Yeah, as of just a few days ago, and these are not final stats yet, but we were at 90 fatalities here in North Dakota. And, 2023, we had 106, 2022, 98, and in 2021, we were at 101. So we're about 10 or more fatality victims less than we have been in the past, which is the trend we want to see. Our goal through the North Dakota Vision Zero program is to get to zero fatalities. And this is a great trend that we like to see. One of the things that we look at with fatal crashes in North Dakota is how many people are not wearing seatbelts. And tentatively so far for 2024, about 46% of our fatal crashes involve people not wearing a seatbelt, which is lower. 2022 was 69%. That's a 23% reduction. So those are good signs. With our primary seatbelt law, it seems like people are more apt to be wearing those seatbelts. And if they get involved in that crash, it's protecting them a little bit more. So we're seeing positive trends, and that's what we want to continue to see as we move into 2025 and in the following years. Our goal is to get to that fatal count down to zero.
So seatbelts, a big reason why. Are we being smarter with alcohol choices and impaired driving on the roadways? Is that part of this story as well?
You know, one of the things with alcohol and impaired driving with our fatality crashes, sometimes those blood and drug test results take a little while to get back. So we have about half of our crashes where those results are still pending. So it's really a little too early to determine how many of our crashes really involved alcohol or drugs this year. Because, again, about half of our crashes show that there's still pending results. As of today, the crashes where there have been results, 19% of those crashes have shown alcohol or drug involvement. So that is a nice reduction. Again, the last few years, it's about 35 to 40% of our fatal crashes involve people that are impaired. And, you know, as of right now, it's trending that we're going to be lower. But, again, those results are real preliminary.
What do you attribute that to, Brian? Are we just have we just been pounding on people to not drink and drive for so long that people are starting to finally pick up on it now? Or what do you think is behind that?
You know, I think that's part of it. You know, we have a generation of people that, you know, have seen some of the tragedies that have been more publicized with impaired drivers. Because we've been doing a better job, I think, the Department of Transportation, Highway Patrols across the United States have done a better job of getting that message out there. I think people are becoming more responsible as well because they're seeing that and they're seeing some of those bad consequences that happen. We still have a percentage of our population that are going to get behind the wheel when they're impaired. They maybe don't do it all the time. Maybe they think today I'm okay, but there still is that. So we are still out there making a lot of traffic stops and making arrests for those violations as well. And I think when you talk about law enforcement in general, that is one of the things. It's a preventable injury or death anytime that somebody gets behind the wheel and either hurts themselves or others. And so our goal is, number one, is to make sure we educate the public to make them aware of what those dangers are. But also when we're out there working, when we see those violations, we're taking enforcement action on that and taking the people to jail. And, you know, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're taking impaired drivers off the road. It's no longer just those Friday and Saturday nights that historically people thought people were out drinking and driving. It is literally 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You never know what... when you're on a traffic stop, if somebody's going to be impaired by when you walk up on that car.
What else you want us to know before we bid you farewell today?
You know, the biggest things are, you know, when we talk about the winter weather here, we're going to continue having some winter. But when you're out there driving, again, just drive for those conditions. You know, make sure you have your vehicles are maintained. They've got those good tires, good windshield wipers on there. If you get into any trouble out there, just call 911. That's the biggest thing that you can do. We've talked about this before is that if you break down out there, you've gone to the ditch, you've hit a deer, you've been involved in a crash, just stay with that vehicle, call 911. We're going to get somebody out there to help you. Number one, when you call 911, it's going to give you, it's going to geolocate where you're at. You might not know exactly where you're at, but that phone is going to know where you're at. It's going to get us to where you are quicker than you just telling us where you're at.
Absolutely. Well, again, we thank you and your team for all you do, for keeping things safe out there and for helping us out when we need a hand on the roadways, because I know you guys do a lot of that too. We'll just continue to encourage people to keep doing those right things. Make good choices, put those seatbelts on, and stay off the cruise controls during these days when it freezes overnight and sometimes thaws out, so you get a little bit of everything with driving conditions.
Yeah, the biggest things you can do out there to make yourself safe are is wear your seatbelt anytime you get involved in that car. Don't drive impaired, and just get rid of those distractions when you're driving.
Yeah, good advice always. Brian, thanks for stopping by. Great seeing you again.
Thanks for having me on.
Happy New Year to you and your team as
well.
Brian Niewen, North Dakota Highway Patrol Captain, joining us here on the Steve Halsham Show. We got a check of news and weather coming up, and then next, what are the big lifts in the city of Moorhead in the new year? The mayor, Shelley Carlson, stops by next on the Steve Halsham Show. Over the years, jewelry trends have changed. I guess just about everything has over the years, right? But at Wimmer's Diamonds, their purpose has remained the same. Hand-select the finest quality fine jewelry in the latest styles and trends. And to help you find that perfect one-of-a-kind diamond or engagement ring that fits any budget, they got a great staff who would love to show you around. Exceptional service and support along the way as well. That's the Wimmer's promise. You can go to wimmersdiamonds.com, or probably more fun when you're talking jewelry, stop by the store and check it out at 4582 32nd Avenue South in Fargo. That's Wimmer's Diamonds. Well, one of the things I love to do on this show when we turn the page to a new year is invite in the mayors of our different communities around the metro area and visit with them a little bit about what they're looking forward to in the new year. And we are very thankful to have the mayor of Moorhead, the Honorable Shelley Carlson, is here with us today. Shelley, thank you for stopping by. Great
to
see you.
So
Happy
much.
New Year.
Thank you so much, Steve, for inviting me.
Yeah, so you've been in the chair now for a couple years.
This is my, I'm going on my 50th.
Is that right? Of course, I should just say, like, whatever you think, double it, and that's about how long it's been, probably. So going on 5 years already.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
It's
good.
Crazy.
So let's kind of just start big picture here. What have you learned, like, in your first 4 years on the job there? What have you learned? Obviously, a million things, but what are some of the kind of big takeaways that you've seen and the things you're excited about as you kind of look back on your first 4 years doing the job?
You know, the thing that I'm most excited about is that I think the citizens of Moorhead and the staff of the city of Moorhead, we are all just kind of coming together and moving in the same direction, which is really, really exciting.
You don't have a lot of food fights over there.
No, you know, knock on wood.
Knock on wood,
you know.
Yeah.
We don't, like, unanimously agree all the time on everything, but when a decision is made, we move forward as one voice with the council, is what I'm talking about. But even with all of the incredible things happening, I talk to the citizens, the council members talk to the citizens, and there's just a lot of palpable excitement that's just really happening. Mm. But looking back, I think it's just working together and respecting others' opinions. But then at the end of the day, moving forward together as a unit is really, you know, we have the hashtag Moorhead Proud. And I really think that exemplifies the feeling that we have with everybody in the city of Moorhead.
You obviously have diverse perspectives in any city council.
Absolutely.
You don't seem, though, to get a lot of drama. What do you attribute that to?
You know, I think I don't want to compare our community to any other community. I can only speak to how we operate. And the way that we operate is that it's constant communication. I meet monthly with every single city council member because I want to know where their thoughts are on things and their feelings are on things. Same with our city manager. We are constantly working together on various different projects. They all are on boards and committees, and we report back on what is happening with those at city council meetings. So it's just kind of constant communication and checking in with each other and where we're at, and also just realizing that we are public servants doing this for the most part as second jobs.
Yeah.
You know, so we're just all wanting to do the best that we can for the community we live in.
Do it for the right reasons. Well, you had some big announcements in 2024. The DG Fuels project, that was a big one. $5 billion facility,
yes,
that will manufacture jet fuel,
yes,
will be coming to the county. And 650 jobs is what I read from the Star Tribune. Tell me about this. Like, when did this come on your radar, like this could happen?
You know, we have been working on this for a while. There is an RFP that came out about 18, 20 months ago. And Moorhead, just like other communities across the state of Minnesota, we submitted an application through the RFP process. And then it was this past November that we heard that we were one of the sites that were selected across the country. And so we're working, you know, really closely with a lot of the state leadership and also national leadership on making sure that we figure out what are the permits that need to be obtained. You know, what are the things that we need to do to really make this a reality and have it so that they can start building maybe in 2026.
Yeah, there was a particle board facility that was scheduled to open kind of in the Itasca County near the Grand Rapids area. And the people at one point said, we just have had so much headwind trying to get the permits and all those things that it's just not worth it anymore. And that project ended up going away. Do you see any chance of that in Moorhead, or do you think a lot of that groundwork's already been laid?
Well, you know, we have the we have all of the boxes checked for the site that DG Fuels is looking for. You know, we have almost 700-800 acres of land within the city of Moorhead that we own. 200 of it is already shovel ready. And so I think that that is very, very enticing for them. They are close to the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. Deltas is one of their partners.
Okay,
and,
sure.
You know, so the sustainable fuel would be utilized by the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport community. We also have really close, the area is just south of the interstate, so really close access to the interstate, close access to our Moorhead airport, close access to rail. I mean, we just have it all right here. And I don't want to also forget about our partners in North Dakota, too, because that carbon recapture opportunity that we have working with our North Dakota partners is also something that is going to be just perfect for this location. So the two entities, though, that we really need to be working with and kind of the two markers that we're going to be looking for is working with the U.S. Department of Energy, obviously, and then the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission.
Yeah.
So those are two entities that, you know, we're going to be looking to them to find out what do we need to do.
Full speed ahead, though, right now.
Absolutely.
For what we hear.
Absolutely.
So where is this parcel of land that this is going to be built on?
Yeah, so it would be south of the interstate and then east of 34th Street.
Okay, southeast part of the city there. So pretty exciting stuff going on there. And starting to dig some ground next year in 26, is that what I'm hearing?
You know, ideally it would be 26. It could be 27.
Okay.
It really depends on, you know, all those permitting
how it all
junctures
comes together
and how we can get through them.
You've also got a big project going downtown. I've heard it called a downtown redevelopment vision.
Yes.
And about a $500 million effort altogether. Give us the high points of that.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I want to thank Roars Development for helping us get all of those entities acquired. It was one of the first condo associations across the state of Minnesota. I think one of them even across like the region. And so it was... It was challenging to work with all those different condo owners in the Moorhead Center Mall and get it all under one ownership. The city of Moorhead now has complete ownership of all of that 18, 19 acres in our downtown. And really, when do you get to have an entire downtown that you get to redo and reimagine? Right now, I should back up for a second here. The whole area was on the books for about $20 million. And we have two projects that are going on right now. We have a mixed-use building that's going up on the east side, which Kevin Bartram is at the helm of that. And then we have the Moorhead Community Center Library, which is also being built simultaneously. Those two projects alone are going to be on the books for approximately $80 million. So we've already quadrupled the worth and the value of that area with just two projects, and we have about four or five other projects that we'll be looking to come online in the next couple of years, because you can't do it all at once.
Yeah, right, as much as you'd like to. To what do you attribute this, I don't want to say sudden surge, because you always have good things going on, but having so much going on right now, why is now the time? Inflation is what it is, people costs are what they are, yet it seems to be happening now. Why do you think it's all coming together the way it is?
I think it's just the synergy that we have with working with the council and working with our city staff and working with our community. It has all just kind of come together so beautifully. And so there's this synergy and energy that like I said earlier, it's just really palpable in Moorhead. And great things are happening. And it's just really, really exciting. And people want to support that.
I forget where I saw it, but I saw your population growth numbers, and I'm not going to remember them offhand, but I was surprised at how fast Moorhead has grown. I shouldn't be, this whole area has grown, but it seems like it's kind of a nice little honey hole in Moorhead right now, because you have kind of that, this whole area, it feels different, right? It doesn't feel like, you know, maybe St. Paul and Minneapolis, it feels like we're kind of up here doing our own thing, but you still get the benefits of what this beautiful part of the world we have in Clay County, but this kind of thriving metropolitan area. So Moorhead really has just a really nice convergence of a lot of things that apparently are leading people to move here and bring their companies here.
Yeah, the population of Moorhead grew in the last decade. It grew 17%.
That's what I saw.
Yep.
Yeah, 17.
And we are projected to continue that growth. in the next couple of decades as well. We are still, you know, a little bit more in population than the city of West Fargo, but projections see us still being just a little bit more in population versus West Fargo.
And we know how they're growing over there.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the Fargo-Moorhead community is a metropolitan community of about 260,000 people, and it has a lot of diversity. It has a lot of growth, obviously. And I think once the Metroflood diversion, when that project is done, there's going to be the stability for people to know that we are not ever going to flood again in the Fargo-Moorhead region.
Yeah.
And so I think that is just something, too, that people are looking forward to.
When you did your most recent budget for 2025 here, this is something that happened back about a month ago. You had a hearing. It was a pretty simple process, the way it sounds. The report readers came out and said, "Here's what we find." Everybody said, "Makes sense. Let's do it." In Fargo, I'm a city of Fargo resident, so I'm still a little crabby at them for bringing a budget that was more than 10% increase. You got yours done. The property tax increase, anyway, is under 5%. How were you able to get the kind of growths and the sustaining influences that you needed there and still try to keep your price tag to your residents under control?
So I think one word really describes that, and it's called planning. We are just constantly planning, looking ahead, figuring out what are we going to need, not just next year, but in 2 years and 5 years and 10 years from now, and figuring that out. And the executive leadership team, the department heads, work together so seamlessly. It is not a group of individuals who are trying to hoard the money in their portion of the budget. They know that if another entity in the city is needing some assistance, that they're going to forego maybe asking for new vehicles or whatever it might be in their department for a year or two to help that other department. So it's kind of like a family. You help each other out, because at the end of the day, there's only so much money to go around. And we want to make sure that it's equitable with our departments. But also, when there's an area that really needs some assistance and help, we're going to maybe put a little bit more in that area than in other areas. This particular budget, we really felt that there was a strong need to tell the employees of the city of Moorhead that they are extremely valued. And we appreciate all they do. We had, you know, on the Minnesota side, we work with unions. So we had five unions that we needed to negotiate with. And these contracts were contracts that went over kind of the latter part of COVID. And we had a lot of employees that worked really, really, really hard. And we want to keep them in the city of Moorhead.
You have in your city, you have a lot of things that are happening now, things that people are excited about. What does Moorhead need more of, though, that you're going to be working on in the days ahead?
Well, one thing at the top of my mind, and probably it's at the top of my mind because I was just having a conversation with somebody today, is housing. Mm. I mean, housing is always a big issue. We have seen a lot of housing being built, but looking at trying to find the builders that maybe are looking to build more modest homes. I don't like to say the word affordable, because I think that just means different things to different people.
Right.
But modest, I think we kind of all have an idea of what a modest home would be. Maybe, you know, the homes from the 1950s, 1960s, two-bedroom, you know, one-bathroom kind of house that my husband and I bought
exactly.
when we first
well, we all
got
did,
married.
Right? Yeah.
You know, those modest homes that younger folks can get into and start establishing
themselves.
How do
we do that, Shelley? It's such a hard thing because the builders want to get in and they need some scale to make it profitable for them. And I don't know that the answer is always, well, let's let the government pay for how this happens. How do we do that, you think?
You know, I think it's just really getting all of the different entities around the table and having a conversation about, okay, what are the strengths that I can bring as a builder? Mm. What are the strengths I can bring as a lender, a realtor, or, you know, the city?
Yeah.
And then figuring out where the gaps are and determining who can fill those gaps.
Yeah.
So it's really having those really intentional conversations. But along with that, it's, you know, obviously it's childcare. It's bringing more businesses to the community. And I think, too, the other thing that is challenging for us is recruiting law enforcement officers. So we're always looking at that, too. It's pretty much the same thing as every other community.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to do the best that we can. And I think we're doing a really good job, though.
What keeps you up at night as you think about the days ahead?
You know, just always it's uncertainty. You know, you have a good plan and then something can come along and completely derail it. So it's trying to just keep the momentum going forward and kind of keeping your head on a swivel to make sure that nothing's going to come in and derail it.
Yeah, very good. Last comments for our audience today. Anything you want people to know about Morehead that I haven't asked you about?
Well, I think right now for 2025, I didn't intentionally do this when I first started, but it has evolved into I kind of developed, you know, at the beginning of the year, everyone's like, oh, choose a word of the year. I tend to have chosen themes of the year. Last year for the State of the Cities, I wore a bright orange suit. It was a year of construction and safety, too, in Morehead. This year, I just feel like everything is really coming up roses. It's just growing, and it is exciting, and it's positive, and I just can't wait for 2025.
Yeah, well, it'll be you've got good schools and a lot of them. Morehead's
yes.
got. I just was talking to somebody this morning who was talking about the Career and Tech Academy there and what an amazing facility that is. So
yes.
many good things happening. Shelley, thank you for stopping by today. Great to see you again, and let's stay in touch as the year
yes.
goes on.
Thanks so much for having me.
Mayor Shelley Carlson of the great city of Morehead joining us here on the Steve Halsham Show. When we come back, good news on layoffs today from the U.S. Department of Labor. I think we'll dive into those numbers coming up next. Okay, so new data in from the Department of Labor says, good news. Weekly unemployment claims hit their lowest level since April. So I'm reading a story from Yahoo Finance, and Yahoo Finance says, this is the latest sign that layoffs remain low. This from the Department of Labor came this morning, showing 211,000 initial jobless claims, down from 220,000 the week prior. And, of course, they tell you what economists had expected, which I never read for you because I don't think it matters. And in ongoing claims, there was 1.89 million the week before and 1.84 last week. So down, you know, a few thousand. Here's what I keep going back to, though. When you're talking about the week ending December 27th, should we not expect layoffs on Christmas week to remain slow, if for no other reason than the fact that most people aren't working? The bosses are generally off from December 20th to December 27th. So I don't know how you'd be laying people off. Now, maybe they lay people off the week before, and then the next week you file for unemployment benefits. I don't know. But I kind of feel like if we do some like common sense kind of breaking these numbers down, shouldn't we during Christmas week have a drop in layoffs for one reason or another? I just think this is interesting. I'm more interested in the overall trend. And the overall trend is, if you go back to late 2022, you were in a certain kind of area, and we've had a steady increase from that time, about a 10% increase if you just kind of do a trend line there. So I don't know that I feel like spiking the football and celebrating here. They do quote some economists from a company called Jefferies, who says that holidays could impact the claims numbers. Well, okay, so that makes sense. But the data falls in line with a recent trend that the labor market deterioration remains gradual. Well, there's some good news. Hey, yippee, our labor market deterioration has been gradual. I don't know. I kind of like the deterioration word as the one that sort of describes the story there. The labor market is definitely, they say, ending the year cooling off from where it started. Hiring rate fell from 3.7% at the end of 2023 to 3.3% at the end of 2024. And they believe that means that Americans aren't necessarily losing their jobs, but it's getting harder to find them. And this is true. A number of people I talk to in business have said, yeah, we're not really laying anybody off on someone who leaves. We're not really replacing them either. So I think there's a lot of that contraction going on. So I think this is one of those stories where you have to dig into the headline and read the story. This is a paragraph 10 story for me. All right, coming up on hour number two, ready to top it off here on this Thursday, a couple of Shanley students who are getting into the armed forces. They're going to tell their stories, why they want to serve their country. Coming up next. Here we go, hour number two, the Steve Hallstrom Show on this first full business day of 2025 and January 2nd today. So here we go, the brand new year. I think the Georgia Bulldogs might have missed the rescheduling date for the Sugar Bowl game today because Notre Dame is ahead 19-3 after taking back the second half kickoff for a touchdown. And I don't think Georgia has showed up quite yet. So this one might be over. Notre Dame, this would be a little bit of an upset for sure. So we'll see. Still a long way to go. Coming up here in this hour of the program, we're going to be visiting with a couple of young people from our community who are going to be enlisting in the armed forces and serving our country. Max Sorensen and Kendall Jones are here, so we'll be visiting with them in a little bit. If you've got a comment or question anytime along the way, you can sure phone us at 701-271-1100, 271-1100. And if you want to email us, you can do that, studio@flagfamily.com, or send a text to the text line at 701-237-1590. The Steve Hallstrom Studio is built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it and go to pccnd.com to learn more. All right, let's get into some of the stories that are making headlines today. I call it the top five and five. It is, in my mind, the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. They can be something about economics. They can be something about culture. They can be something about agriculture. It can be something about energy, crime, whatever it might be. We scan the different wires to find stories that I think matter and really affect our lives day to day. So we have five stories here for you. We'll begin the 5 o'clock hour with the top five at five. It's brought to you by Nancy Kelly Realty. Go to nancykellyrealty.com and find out more about Colfax Meadows, where small town living is still a thing. All right, story number one, I'm going to kind of make a two for one story on the two big crime stories from yesterday. And New Year's Day, it started with one incident, and then we found out about another one a little bit later in the morning. Well, we know more now about the investigation into the truck attack on New Orleans Bourbon Street that happened in the early morning hours of New Year's Day. Now, 14 people have been confirmed killed. Dozens others have injured, and the attacker himself is dead after a gunfight exchange with authorities there. What we know today is that Shamsuddin Jabbar is a 42-year-old U.S. citizen from Texas. He had previously served in the U.S. military, including an 11-month deployment to Afghanistan, according to an Army spokesperson. It was a fairly simple time served, a discharge in 2025, an honorable discharge, and then this individual worked in real estate in recent years, most recently living in Houston, Texas. Investigators are searching for a motive, and they originally thought that he might have had help with the attack. But a U.S. official with the investigation told CBS News earlier today that the FBI now believes there were no accomplices. So it looks like a lone wolf attack there. So that's number one. The second story is the one where the Tesla Cybertruck burst into flames outside President-elect Donald Trump's Las Vegas hotel. And the new data on this one that we didn't know, that we learned today, was that it appears as though the person who detonated the explosive device within the vehicle shot himself, a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head before the explosion. And they found a number of incendiary devices in the Cybertruck, and so they believe that he likely planned to cause more damage than what eventually happened there. And that appears, again, to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. His name, Matthew Livelsberger, 37 years of age there. Damage from the blast, according to the Associated Press, was mostly limited to the interior of the truck. The explosion vented out and up, but did not go out far enough to contact the hotel doors just a few feet away. They do say that it's interesting for somebody who has this kind of training. He was a Green Beret at one point, Special Forces. They say it's curious that the device that he put together to blow up the Tesla was as crude as it was and not sophisticated at all. In all, this person had 5 bronze stars with the military service there as well. And this one, we have no real motive at all. The first one I was telling you about, the one on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, this person had posted, apparently earlier in the day, a handful of videos declaring his support for ISIS. So a U.S. citizen who had lived here most of his life, if not all of it, but had somehow, at least according to the initial reports, been radicalized for Islamic terror in the last few years, and potentially leading to the act out the way that he did it. So that's story one and story number two right there. Story number three, this is interesting. State geologists say there is a significant amount of untapped oil buried deep in the Bakken in northwest North Dakota that was previously undiscovered. It's a new study by the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources that claims that there are more than 250 million barrels of oil that lay deeper into a reservoir, and that could be about 10 billion gallons worth of oil that lies about 50 feet lower than a reservoir that was already being drilled. It would take about 600 new wells to extract the oil, but that's a lot more of a supply than maybe what we thought. So the demise of the Bakken may have been greatly exaggerated. So that is story number, what do we go? Story number two. Story number three, I guess, would go the terrorism stories on their own. All right, so story number three, the merger between Sanford Health and Marshfield Clinic is now complete, and that's taken over. People in Sanford say that this will allow them to bring a different level of technology here to our area. So that that is interesting. And I've got one more here for you. About 138,000 North Dakota households applied for the first ever ERC tax credit, and about 90% of eligible households, and they believe that most of those will reapply again. They're trying to make it easier to get that $500 tax credit this year. All you have to do is type in your house number and the first 4 letters of your last name in the online application, and that will be able to pull that up very quickly for you. So they're hoping to make it easier for you to get a hold of that money that maybe you applied for the first time and got that. Hopefully it's easier to get it the second time around. So those are the 5 most consequential stories going on in the news cycle today. We call it the top 5 at 5. I do have to say honorable mention story, because a lot of you I know fly either for a living or you're on airplanes traveling for work. If you're wondering who the best airline is in the country for on-time arrivals, well, it's Delta Airlines. At 83.4% of its flights arrived on time. United is number 2 at 80.9%. Then it's Alaska Airlines, America Airlines, and Southwest Airlines. The bottom 3 are Frontier, Air Canada, and WestJet. So Delta, United, and Alaska, 1, 2, and 3, with American coming in 4. So that's the honorable mention story there today. All right, it is 5:14 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. I also want to let you know before I take this next break about my good friends over at Lindsay Echo Water. They have crystal pure Echo Water systems, especially if you live at the lake or you've got a lake place that you spend time at. You're probably tired of dealing with rusty, foul-smelling water. Well, the team at Lindsay Echo Water has a solution. Their local team specializes in removing rust, odor, and arsenic from your water. They've got more than 5 decades of trusted service. They offer water testing, professional service, and parts for all makes and models. Say goodbye to water woes and hello to fresh, clean water. Contact Lindsay Echo Water today. LindsayEchoWater.com. All right, when we return here on the Steve Hallstrom Show, we're going to visit with Max and Kendall. If you want to be encouraged about the future of our country as we begin a new year, I got a couple of rock stars in the building here with me today who are entering the armed forces. We're going to hear from them about their stories and why they want to serve the country. That's coming up next. All right, so you might love your neighborhood, but you're thinking, this house is just way too small now. Well, contact Delta Design and Construction. Tom and his team of experts have been designing and remodeling homes for more than 40 years. maybe an extra bedroom, a three-season porch, maybe one more stall in the garage for that new vehicle. Just a little change can make a big difference to the function of your space. Delta Design and Construction can make those changes to your home and office. They remodel, they repair. Discover your options online at deltadesign.biz or call Tom at 701-235-1212, 701-235-1212. Well, I get a lot of press releases here at the station, but every once in a while I get one that makes me go, oh, that's cool. And I got one a couple of weeks ago because I got the press release from John Hovind's office and one from Kevin Kramer's office as well, talking about their Military Academy nominees. And around here, as you all know, we're faith, family, freedom, and we appreciate our military and the men and women who serve our country. And whenever people decide this is what I want to do and what I want to pursue for a future, that's pretty exciting around here. And so I, through a friend of a friend, was able to get a couple phone numbers for a couple of guests who have joined me here in studio today, and very pleased to have with me here Max Sorensen and Kendall Jones. I didn't know, actually, at the time they both were Shanley students, so it's not meant to be a commercial for Shanley High School, but it's working out a little bit that way, and turns out they know each other, so it's making for a good time here in the studio today. Max and Kendall, thanks for coming by. Good to have you with us here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
so I guess Kendall, I'll start with you. You are going to be going to serving in the Army, and Max is going to go into the Air Force, and so talk a little bit about that decision. Is this something you kind of thought you always wanted to do, or maybe just in the last couple of years it got interesting to you? How'd this happen?
Yeah, so I've always had a certain commitment to the military. I wasn't sure exactly Army, Air Force, Navy, which route I wanted to go. My grandfather was a Vietnam War vet. He served in the Army, so that was kind of a driving factor, is do I follow the legacy or do I make my own path?
Yeah, right.
And then in the fall of 2023, my sister, I started school at West Point, and that kind of solidified my decision. It was, all right, we can't be rivals. We might as well go to the same school.
Right, yeah.
Navy was definitely out of the picture there with the big Army-Navy rivalry.
Oh, okay, like, I see.
All right, I can't make Mom mad.
Okay.
But I really like the campus. I've been out there a couple times. It truly is beautiful, and I love the...
I've heard it's amazing.
And I love the upstate New York, just the geographic region.
Kind of feels like home, right?
I mean, it kind of does.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities in that area.
A lot more hills, though.
Yeah. So now, is it a good thing or a bad thing you got a sister that's there already? Because she can, like, brag that older sister, I know the deal. Or is it nice to know that you've got somebody who is on your side when you head out there?
It's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of rivalry there. Just with the family members, like, oh, she did it first. Yeah, but I'm going to be better.
Yeah, there you go, right?
But at the same time, it's good to have somebody
families,
in your corner.
Yeah, you bet it is. Yeah.
1,000 miles away, yep. Have somebody close to home.
Sure. Max, how about you? When did this whole thing about, you know, enlisting come to your mind? And then how did you end up landing on Air Force?
So it kind of started with my sister. She's 6 years older than I, and she looked into joining the Air National Guard through North Dakota. Mostly started just as a way to pay for school. Like, she obviously wanted to serve, but she just wanted to get debt free through college. And she ended up loving it and loved serving her country, and she took every opportunity that came to her. She ended up deploying, I believe, her sophomore year of college to Kuwait. And that's where she was there when the Afghanistan withdrawal happened, and she had to deal with a lot of the refugees coming through there and all of that. And there she was, like, recognized for her service and all of that. And she came home, and she was told by her commanding officer, like, you should pursue looking into the Air Force Academy, because she had only gone through 2 years of school. It's still an option. And she decided at that point it wasn't right for her. She was starting a relationship. It just wouldn't be right to move out to Colorado Springs for that. And she liked NDSU. But she looked at me, and I was a freshman. I was barely looking at schools.
Yeah.
But I had already been kind of thinking, oh, well, she did it. I can do it too for the Air Force. And then the real – I kind of – some people have a moment, some people don't. And I think I kind of do – it was actually the homily of her wedding. I'm sitting in the row. I was one of the groomsmen. And the priest was talking about, like, a sacrificial love for like in a relationship, a marriage relationship. And I was actually looking for a thing to talk about in my essay for this nomination. And the topic was why you want to be an officer in the U.S. military. And that, it kind of just struck me right there. It was, well, I'm not in a relationship, but it's like a sacrifice for nation, a love for nation. I talked about how I feel like I have to pay back kind of my dues. Like I've been given everything. I've given my freedoms. I've been given my right to choose a path, and everyone has, my family has. So it's kind of my duty to fulfill that. And then why the academy itself is just, if you have the ability to go, you go. If you're going into the Air Force and you have the ability to go to the academy, you take it. It's the best education you're going to get, best experience you're going to get. So I took it and went for it.
Very cool. Now, Max's nomination came through Senator Hovind's office, and Kendall's through Senator Kramer's office. And Kendall, I'll ask you, what did it mean to get that nomination from the senator? How much did that mean to you?
Yeah, it truly meant an awful lot. It's a long process and a lot of essays and some interviews, but something this important coming from political leaders who I truly look up to and respect. It's something so meaningful that it's a way they can give back to the communities and to young students.
Yeah.
And them taking the time to send out delegations to meet with us and interview with us, and then take the time to review all of our applications and kind of reach out to us in this simple way that means so much to us, really shows like their North Dakotan values and how much they're committed to giving back to their communities.
How nervous were you for that interview?
Oh, I was so nervous.
Yes,
it was, Max, how about you? Same?
It was bad. I got lucky. Everyone, when you go in, you kind of know Senator Hovind's interviews is definitely the scariest, and then Kramer's and Armstrong's. Luckily, I got to start with Congressman Armstrong's interview, and they were very light, very easy to talk to. And then I got to Senator Hovind's, and it was very military-like. I was lucky I had one under my belt when I got started.
Okay. Yeah. How about you, Kendall? Was it nerve-wracking or not too
much? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You go in and you think, okay, this is my life-defining moment. Mm. And then you sit down and they just talk to you like your people. Say, is this what you're interested in? What do you want to do? How is this going to help you with your career and with your life? And then I remember Congressman Armstrong's office, to wrap it up, they go, what's your favorite Halloween candy?
Nice. Yeah.
Something fun, something to remind you that it's not all serious, it's not all business, and they truly want you to succeed.
Yeah, that's really cool.
What animal I would be if I was an animal. So,
Yep. Something lighthearted.
Something good. Yeah, let me read you a little bit of the bios that I got in this press release from Senator Kramer's office for Kendall. She is a daughter of Ross Jones and Shannon Roars Jones, is involved in swimming, softball, weightlifting, student council, and National Honor Society. She also enjoys hunting and fishing. Kendall is from Fargo and attends Shanley High School. Max is going to graduate from Shanley in May of 2025. He's the son of Mark and Denise Sorensen. Max scored a 35 on his ACT test. He's number one in his class of 74 at Shanley High School in Fargo. High school involvement includes football, weightlifting, track and field. You don't want to mess with these two. We got some weightlifters in the house here today. Student council, student ambassadors, band and theater. He participated in the metro area student ambassadors, was a camp counselor at Trinity Youth Camp, serves as an altar server in his church, and volunteers for the church as well. He's involved in North Dakota Know Your State and interested in
Vexillology.
Okay, tell
me
what this is,
that one.
Max. You better.
Vexillology is my little nerd out. It's the study of flags. I think flags are very I actually, they talked about it in my interview because I put it
down. Well, you're in the right place, my man.
Exactly. The flag. It's perfect. I find them fascinating. Both nations, states. I followed the Minnesota flag thing very closely.
Yeah, so right. Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. And cooking. So you got flags and cooking.
Yeah. Weird combo, but it works.
So you guys are involved in a lot of different things there. And I guess I'll ask you, Kendall, start with you. Of all the things that you have done, what do you think has prepared you for what you're going to be getting into? I'm sure you've kind of been mentally preparing for the challenge of what comes next, because it'll be certainly demanding for you. Talk about the experiences that you've had and kind of how you think they may be getting you ready?
Yeah. I'm going to pick two. I'm going to pick an athletic one and a non-athletic. So athletic is certainly swimming. I've been a part of the Shanley swimming program since seventh grade, so 6 years, which is crazy to say as a senior. And then theater. I've been the stage manager for our theater productions for the past 3 years. So that leadership has really helped me to interact with people.
You got to be on your toes to direct those sets. I know that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good for you.
It's high stress, but it's so much fun. And the leadership opportunities it's provided me with, I think, will really help me prepare for the high-speed environment of the academies and just taking control under high-stress situations.
Yeah. Max, how about you? What do you think some of the things you've done that have gotten you ready for what you're going to be going through at the academy?
Yeah, I look to football. I mean, Shanley football, it's the best program, I think, in the state just overall. We have the way our coaches teach the game. It's more than just a game. It's the brothership. It's being able to go. They always use the metaphor, going to war with your teammates. You're there for the highs. You're there for the lows. And we've experienced that. I mean, we've won state championships. We've almost missed the playoffs. So being able to go into a game and give it all on the line for the people around you, I think it's a very close relation to the experience in the military. So it's prepared me for everything that I think I'm going to prepare or see.
When we come back on the program more with Max and Kendall, I'm going to ask them a little bit about this whole concept of serving the country and why this country means so much to them at a young age. I think for those of us who have had a few more laps around the track, we've seen why this country is so great and the opportunities that it offers. But how about a couple of high school seniors? What is so special about the USA that they want to serve the country? So we'll talk with Max and Kendall about that as we continue on the Steve Hallstrom Show. If you need a hand, think Labor Masters. You don't have to be a business, but a lot of their customers are businesses in our part of the world. In fact, Labor Masters works with more than 200 businesses in the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo area. They provide a wide range of daily and temporary employment positions. So when you need a hand, think Labor Masters. But maybe you've got a farm or a lake place or just some commercial land that you need some work done on. That's perfect, too. They would love to be able to help you with that. They can do just about anything. They've got a whole big network of people with a lot of different experiences, and they make it easy. We've used them here at our radio stations before, and they've done a great job for us. You'll love working with them, too. Nancy and her team have been doing it for decades. They know how to get the job done. Labormasters.net. Labormasters.net. We're continuing our conversation with Max Sorensen and Kendall Jones, a couple of Shanley students who are going to enter the armed forces, have enlisted, and will be kind of taking the next chapter of their life, serving our country. And Max and Kendall, let's start there. You talked, both of you mentioned briefly about just you have a love for this country and you want to do something to make it better. Where did that come from? And Max, I'll start with you. Where do you think that started? And talk about that. Just maybe speak from the heart a little bit about your love for the country, why you want to do that.
Yeah, so I am a big history buff. I kind of always have been, starting in elementary school. So I've always, I mean, U.S. history classes, all of that, I've always read about how great and powerful our nation is. And then all of the stories of veterans and the different sacrifices they've made for this country and how it's necessary for, like, our rights to be protected from that. So in recent years, I feel like we've seen, I mean, we had the draft back in Vietnam, and we haven't had to have a draft since, just based on volunteer efforts and people volunteering. So, and now in recent years, we've seen a drop in that. I think the numbers have shown that people, or the numbers of the military, is going down,
right,
to a point almost scary, like we need more numbers to be able to keep doing what we're doing. So my volunteering, I think, would be just the idea that I need to continue the legacy that has been left for me. I mean, our country has been going for over 200 years because of veterans, because of the military and its power. And that's not something that I would like my generation to be the one to give up and end.
Mm, that's pretty cool. Air Force, I mean, you watch Top Gun, right?
Yeah.
What is it that you hope the experience gives you? Like, why Air Force and specifically being in that branch?
Yeah. So obviously in North Dakota, we have two Air Force bases. So it's just a little bit of proximity. My sister joined the Air Guard in North Dakota. Happy Hooligans is a great program, so she loved it there. But for me, I also thought, kind of looking towards the future, I think everyone would know that the future of war, the future of battle, it's going to be drones. It's going to be in the air. We're not seeing the same combat that we saw in Vietnam and even in the 90s. This is a new style. This is technology over bodies. It's something that the Air Force is going to be able to lead, and we saw the creation of Space Force. So the idea of being in the sky is where the war is going to be fought is kind of something that resonated with me. So mm-hmm. I wanted to be part of that as well. And then, yeah, my sister, she joined the Air Force, so I had to keep that legacy.
There you go. Kendall, how about you? What about this country makes it so great in your mind that you want to serve and do what you're going to do?
Yeah. We're talking a lot about sisters today. I have to shout out mine. But it also comes from like a deeper family legacy. I have a longstanding history of military service in my family, which I am immensely proud of.
But that's got to, at some point, it's got to be yours though, right?
Yes.
Like when was that time when it started meaning something to you?
Yeah. I think it was about the same time as Max. It would have been late elementary, early middle school, where I really realized like all the opportunities that mm-hmm. the United States as a country as a whole has given me. It's the freedom of religion that we've talked so much about and how much it means to us as individuals, both going to Shanley and not. It's something that's been rooted in our faith since we were young, love of God, love of country. And also all of the like educational opportunities that that the United States presents. We have so many like vast, I want to say opinions. Like there's so many different people in the United States with so many different values who have different upbringings. And just the ability for me as an individual to learn about all these different things and express my opinions as an individual mm-hmm. is something that is truly American.
Yeah, it is. That's right.
I really brought these values to heart in my childhood and now. Just something, if I can fight to protect this for my children and my grandchildren and everyone who will come in the United States after me, then that's something I will do to give them the same opportunities and education that I've been given.
That's pretty cool. You both have been involved in so many different things in school, not just school, but activities and different things like that. Max, how do you balance all of that? When we were reading for both of you, you had like 10 different things you've been involved with in school. I don't know how you have time for it, let alone being good at everything, because I understand you guys are really good at all the things you do. How do you balance it all?
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's hard. But I think it comes down to just prioritizing what needs to get done, what has the bigger impact on everything I do. For student council, I know we focus on delegating. It can't all just be one person. You got to spread it out as a team. For football, it's just being there for the guy next to you, and that's how I gain my motivation. And then all the different activities, it's just I won't do something if I don't find it entertaining. I mean, it's not something I do because, oh, I want it to look good on a transcript. I do it because I find it. I'd rather be doing it than sitting at home. So that most of that comes easy to me. And then adding schoolwork on top of it, just I use my time well, I guess you could say. I try to get it done in class if possible. If not, it's right away when I get home because I'll forget about it if I don't.
I'm with you. Kendall, how about you? How do you juggle all those balls?
Yeah. I think it's really a community thing. Like, as long as I have the people around me to support me and to take on kind of the things that I can't, there's really not much you can't do. We've talked a lot about our teams, different sports teams, different student council teams, and it's really, you have to be there for each other. And that's a thing in the military too, is you are there for the person next to you. And with that mentality, you can expect that they're there for you too. It gets overwhelming, taking a lot of hard classes, especially senior year, with looking towards colleges. Do I do this or this? What do I major in? It's really taking advice from those around you who have those shared experiences and even mentors, those above you who have more education, and really trusting their opinions and trusting that they want what is best for you.
Yeah. What is there anything that I don't want to say keeps you up at night, but that you think about and kind of makes you nervous about this whole thing? I mean, it not only the educational challenge where you're going, but for both of you, you've got some performance duties, you know, the things you're going to have to do outside the classroom. And it can be pretty intimidating, I would think. So, Kendall, start with you. Any part of this kind of makes you nervous?
Can I say the running?
You sure can.
No, I'm honestly really looking forward to it all. I think the one thing that will hold me back or that I'll struggle with a little bit is the academic side. The academies are ranked like Ivy League colleges, and that does scare me a little bit. But I know that within the academies, even though you're all there vying for promotions and top spots and valedictorians, everyone there wants to see you succeed. And I know that even if I do struggle, if I have setbacks, there will always be people there to lift me up, and people who want to see me do my best and thrive in every way.
Yeah. Max, how about you? What makes you go, oh boy?
Well, I just finished my CFA. It's Candidate Fitness Assessment. It's like the physical test you have to do to get in. And I ended up passing. But what made me nervous and just going for the future is the military. Obviously, one of the main workouts would be the pull-up. And as someone who's had to gain weight for the last 4 years to play offensive line, doing a pull or doing multiple pull-ups was not something I looked forward to. Obviously, I pass, and I'll have to continue to gain more as I go on. But I'm actually really excited for the education side of it. I have a just desire to learn about things I find interesting. I like knowing how to do something, not just the facts. I like figuring out like the behind the scenes of everything. So I'm excited, but nervous about obviously the strength aspect of it.
Yeah. Well, if pull-ups are the hardest challenge ahead of
you,
I think you'll
be
okay.
That's true. I'll be okay.
Yeah. What, kind of as we're finishing up here, I'd like to hear you talk a little bit about what you hope comes out of this. You hope to have a good time, you know, a good experience, I should say, there. You know, Kendall at West Point with the Army, and Max with the Air Force Academy. You're out in Colorado Springs, is that right?
Yep,
yeah,
that's right.
So what do you hope comes out of that? Is this something where you hope it can be a career in something you study while you're there, or do you hope to become a professional soldier, professional airman? What do you want to get out of this, Kendall?
Sure. I think a lot of the hype around the academies is the education, and I'm definitely looking forward to taking advantage of that. It's not a specific West Point degree. But I'm looking to pursue a law degree and hopefully join the Army JAG Corps. That's the Judge Advocates General. It's their team of Army specialized lawyers.
We know all about, we watch Mark Harmon on the TV shows for years. So, yeah, right. I'm sure it's just like that. Yeah.
I watched A Few Good Men a couple days ago.
There
it's
you
a good
go.
One.
Yeah.
They're Navy, but I'll give them a break.
Okay.
Truly, the opportunities they provide to within the military, they have so many connections to the FBI, the CIA, NASA, Homeland Security, all of these different departments that you can intern with for the summer, and they can truly teach you to become a better person, better yourself, and also take that experience. And then when you graduate as a second lieutenant commissioned in the Army or the Air Force, take those experiences that and things that you've learned and help show them to the lower enlisted and really help build a stronger community within the military itself.
Yeah, very cool. Max, how about you? What do you hope comes of this?
Yeah, so I had actually been – the nice thing about the Air Force Academy, actually one of the just perks that I think of it is you don't pick a major until the end of your freshman year. So you get through your freshman year, you could say the general's done, and then their professors, their advisors there are going to help you kind of point you in the direction they think you want to go. Obviously, it's your choice. They'll just help you decide which major to pursue. Right now, I'm looking towards a liberal arts major, probably undergrad in history, and then pursue law, just like Kendall. I'm looking more to get into the criminal law, get into state's attorney, all in the state legal system, hoping to pursue that. And then obviously, the opportunities at the academy, I've been looking through their history major opportunities, and they're presenting opportunities to study at West Point or intern at in D.C. or travel and travel the world and study abroad is the word I was looking for. All these opportunities that you don't get anywhere else. And I'll add this little sub point. My uncle, he is a skydiving fanatic. He loves it. And he's always mad because in college, he went to Montana State at college, that their two-person skydiving team would always lose to one team, and it was the Air Force Academy skydiving team, of course. And
makes
he said
sense,
that, yeah. At Nationals, there had to be two different divisions. There was the overall, which was always won by either Navy or Air Force, and then there was the public college, or the public universities, which was thrown up in the air. Every year was different, but that's kind of nice because I get to experience. I mean, skydiving is obviously an opportunity there and all the different activities you can do with that.
Yeah, for sure.
They truly do have everything. It's crazy.
I bet they do. So I got to ask you, the reality is we live in a crazy world. You never know what might happen. If you are enlisted and you are one of the people that are in the system, you may end up doing things that might be tough situations. Do you worry about that at all?
I do. With kind of the way that our world is going, you see a lot in the media about the negatives. Even today, yesterday, we see these terrorist attacks on the United States. And I understand that they are military members, Army enlisted soldiers. But I think it's really important to look at the good, too. We see in the media a lot the negatives. This is what's going wrong. But that doesn't really highlight the military as a whole.
Yeah.
There's so many good things that come out of it. And you see the National Guards responding in like natural disasters and emergencies. It truly is a group of people who are doing everything they can to better our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it comes with risks and it comes with kind of the bad side of it. But within the brotherhood and the community of the armed forces, there is so much good, and that's really what I'm looking forward to.
Max, you think you'll end up in a fighter jet sometime doing that kind of thing, or is that not where you think you might
end very
up?
Open to becoming a pilot. It's obviously a top program at the academy. You have to apply to it within the academy and get it. Kind of going off of what Kendall on an international note, I mean, it feels like today we're like one phone call away from sending the entire military to, albeit Ukraine, to Israel, all these different places. We see everything going on with Iran and China. And you wonder, is this our future? Is it going to happen? Or are we going to keep almost this second Cold War? We're just not talking about it. But I think, like you said, the negativity, we saw the reaction to war from within America, and it's kind of disheartening. I mean, we have soldiers serving overseas in the Middle East, keeping peace. And the second they pull out, what happens? The terrorists come back in.
That's right.
And yet they're criticized for what they're doing. They're called killers. We saw it in Vietnam. These are people who they're serving their military, and this military is serving freedom around the world. It's not something that we get to pick or choose, but it's something that we chose to do to honor or to defend everyone around the world.
That's a great thought. We'll leave it at that. Max Sorensen and Kendall Jones, we're so proud of you guys. And so thankful we got young people like you going to do what you're doing. So God bless you as you go. Thanks for serving our country. It's been great to have you here and to meet you today. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Guys, take care. All right, short break. When we come back on the program, your thoughts on that. Give us a call. Shoot us an email or a text. A couple of closing notes as we finish up here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, if you are headed to Frisco, Texas, pay attention here. Dean Wysocki was talking about this earlier today, and there is a nasty weather system late Saturday. And if you're planning on driving down Saturday and Sunday, it may be very difficult there. It's not just going to be a snow event. We're talking about ice as well as you're getting into Missouri there. So it's you might want to leave early or fly in late. And I did see the forecast for Frisco is like a high of 38 on Monday. So it's going to be chilly. And that's the daytime high. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff. And that means that we're going to be, it'll be dark by the time they kick off and get that thing going. So it's going to be a chilly, wintry experience all around, it looks like there. By the way, Tesla, we were talking about Tesla in the news just because of the Cybertruck that they blew up. Well, fewer deliveries of Teslas in the fourth quarter, maybe a little less demand for the Teslas there. Last year, they had 1.81 million deliveries. This year in the fourth quarter, it was 1.78 million. So kind of in this part of the sort of food chain or whatever, you'd think that it should be maybe, you know, more deliveries. But it's not necessarily going that way, although they're still selling vehicles and making some pretty good money at it. So there is that. That'll do it for today. I've got a couple things I will sneak in tomorrow about tips for a positive new year. So we'll do that coming up tomorrow here on the show as well. And should be a good one. We'll talk a little football tomorrow as we get ready for the Vikings' big game on Sunday. They're still a 2.5 point underdog going into Detroit for that game on Sunday. And Monday we'll talk a little bit more about that Bison game. So should be a good one. All right, my friend, thank you for being with me here on the show. Weren't those kids great? So much fun, and just does your heart good when you see young people like that that want to serve the country, want to make it better, and understand how great this nation really is. That's awesome. All right, my friend, you have a great night. Thanks for being with me today, and keep on flying that flag.